On now. Good morning. It's a joy to be able to stand here behind the pulpit once again. I hate that it's because Brother Wade is sick and out, but still, I love the chance and the opportunity to be able to preach and share the written word of God. Brother Wade wants me to let you know that he loves you and he's thinking about you and he misses you and he's looking forward to coming back. Brother Wade, we pray that you get well soon. We miss you as well. If you would, please turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 1. I'm going to be talking to you this morning about a man named Joseph. A man that the Bible tells us who is a righteous man. When we look back through the Scriptures and we think about a man named Joseph, we were brought back into the Old Testament. There was a man named Joseph who was a man who could interpret dreams. And when he dreamed, he saw things that were good for him, right? We've seen where his dreams told him that his older brothers were going to bow down to him, and even his father was going to bow down to them. And those of you who have older siblings, that's probably a dream that you may have. I don't know. I'm the oldest. And if you're familiar with Scripture, that dream came true. But you should also remember that all the trouble that came with that dream, that he didn't see in the dream, and he was sold into slavery by his brothers, he was falsely accused and falsely imprisoned and somewhat forgotten about. But as you know in Scripture, God used him for what he had intended. Here in the New Testament, there's another man named Joseph, and we'll get to know him as to what our culture and today we call as a stepfather or a foster dad to our Lord Jesus Christ. We know that when you read the Scriptures, you can say that Joseph was a dreamer too, because it seems that God came to him in dreams. But I think it'd be safe to say that all of his dreams were very pleasant as we look at him this morning. And we will also find that Joseph is not a dreamer. I pray by the time we get done discussing this text this morning that you will see that Joseph is a man of God, not a dreamer. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. And we read, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins.' So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, 'Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which is translated, 'God with us.' Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for being here this morning. Father, I ask you just fill our hearts with your Spirit, Father. Give us the eyes to see and the ears to hear your word. Father, I pray that you give me clarity of voice and give me the boldness to say what you need me to say. We love you, God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I know normally this text ties into the Christmas story. And we're not too far from Christmas, but you know Christmas is relevant throughout the whole year. But it's also a great picture as we look back at the sanctity of life. Here we see a man who is going to father a child that's not his, right? And also we're going to see a great picture of a man who is obedient to God. Here we see a man who will step up and be the father to a child that is not his. Here we see a man who will stand with his betrothed wife, his fiance, in a very, very difficult situation. So the first thing I want to point out to you this morning in our text is we see that Joseph is a righteous man. Our text says just, means righteous. He's a righteous man. In Matthew 1:18, again it says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be a child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly." And I'll just give you a little side note before I get going. The previous verses that we read in Matthew chapter 1 gives us a genealogy of Joseph all the way back to Abraham. And as you count the fathers before him, you'll come to find out that Jesus is the 41st generation of the Abrahamic line. When we look at this genealogy, Brother Wade reminded me this earlier on the text that he sent to me. Genealogy means Genesis. Here we are in the first book of the New Testament. We're seeing Genesis again. The beginning. This beginning starts with Christ. We're seeing here, as we go on through this text, that we're going to see what God is starting to undo. He's starting to clean up the mess that the first Adam has caused by his failure to be obedient, and that the second Adam, Jesus Christ, is going to fulfill. So I hope you can see that as we go through this morning. In verse 18 here begins the explanation of the genealogy, which in verse 16, which we didn't read, but you can go back and read it, it states that Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. And this lineage shows us that Jesus was the legitimate legal son of Joseph and the heir to David's throne. And if you will notice something with me in verse 19, we can see what kind of man Joseph really is. Our text says Joseph is a just man. Not Joseph is just a man. Joseph is a just man, which means he's righteous. He is righteous. And this phrase is saying that he is a true believer in God and therefore has been declared righteous by God, because we see it in our text. And he is one who carefully obeyed the law, which was God's law, not man's law. Joseph is a man that fears God and obeys him. He is a righteous man who is fair. He is a righteous man who is discreet. He is charitable, who is an upright man with morals, and who has ethical integrity. But we see in our text that Joseph finds himself in a very difficult situation, does he not? I think it's safe to say that things aren't going as he had planned. And I wonder what was going through his mind. He could not overlook the fact that there seems to be some sort of infidelity going on here, right? And he couldn't, and the child is not his. He's probably thinking, what has she done? What happened to her? This is such a disgrace. What shame will she bring to this village, to his family? He cannot have this. She is his responsibility. Even though they're not married yet, she is his responsibility. She is going to be under his care because he is supposed to be her husband. It's been arranged. So he must take care of the situation. How's he going to do it? You know, I can imagine this is how Hollywood would portray it. They probably got a movie on it. I hadn't seen it. And Joseph goes to meet his arranged bride, and he finds out that she's with child, right? But she's explaining to him, hey, calm down. An angel of the Lord came to me and told me that I'm going to have the Son of God. And he's like, yeah, right. We can see that going on, right? She says, I have known no man. In dramatic fashion, Hollywood would paint him up to be the victim, and they would probably have him disgracing her beyond measure. But that's not what happened in our text. Our text tells us that Joseph, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, plans to send her away secretly, and she deserves to be humiliated, does she not? But he can't do that. No, he can't. He decides that he will put her away privately because he is a righteous man. He's not good on his own. He's be good because of who? God. He must do what is right in the eyes of God, not in the eyes of man. Many would say that we don't know that. But I can tell you right now, we just read it in our text. The text says that he was a righteous man. And our text says he does not want to humiliate her. He wants to put her away privately. This is what God wants us to know. When our text tells us that Joseph is a righteous man, he is telling us that he was justified before God by faith. Listen, this means that God took away his past sins. This means that God took away his present sins. This means that God took away his future sins. He was justified. What does justified mean? It means just as if I had never sinned. That's what God done for Joseph. That's what Jesus does for us. When we seek Him out, when we acknowledge Him as our Lord and Savior, He forgives us for our sins. According to the Jewish law, he should obtain a legal divorce in order to dissolve their engagement. So you can see Joseph has found himself in a very difficult situation. But our text tells us he's a righteous man. He wanted to deal tenderly in becoming legally released from his engagement to Mary. He was not at all willing to hold her up as a public example. He loved her, and he loved God. He was not at all resentful of her visible child expectancy to any point of wanting to humiliate her by bringing up public moral charges against her. See, Joseph had two options. He could disgrace her publicly, or he could just end it privately. And he settled on the second option. What? Joseph was going to leave Mary? That's right, he was. He wanted to treat Mary in a way that was acceptable to God. He couldn't deal with her being pregnant. Not his child. But we're going to see a second thing about Joseph. The second thing I want to show to you this morning is that Joseph is a man of courage. He's a man of courage. Think about how he took the news. The woman he intended to marry comes up pregnant, and he knows what needs to be done about it. And all of a sudden, in a dream, an angel appears to him. And here's what is said to him. In verse 20 and 21, we read, "But when he had considered this," he considered leaving her, "behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit.'" What she told him was true. "She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Praise the Lord. So now we see in our text that Joseph had been chosen for this role just as much as Mary had been chosen to be his mother. And what was Joseph's reaction? Our text says he's a righteous man. So he stood up like a man and he took on this responsibility. He didn't do it under his own strength. He done it because he knew God was going to take care of him. He had to be strong. We know that he got his strength from the Lord because he is what? A righteous man. He's a righteous man. Not by our definition, but by God's. Men, pay attention here. Pay special attention here. Joseph is a great example to us fathers and husbands to follow. He is one that we can imitate, as Paul commands us to do. We are to be strong for our families, and we can do that by obeying God. That's what being a man is all about. And if we don't obey God, men, we're not men if we don't obey God. We're not. We must be strong by showing our family that we truly love them by obediently serving God. And that means that we must seek Him out in everything that we do in our life. Every single step. And I think we see Joseph as a man that does that from what we know in the text. And if you're a man that believes that you have to be macho, listen to this. The only way to be macho is to be obedient to God. Other than that, you just look like a fool. Joseph was willing to be, he was willing to do the unthinkable. He was going against the crowd. He was going to go against what culture says you do. Does that happen today? Culture's pushing hard, is it not? Culture's telling us what we believe. Culture is telling me this month that I have no place in society because of my skin color. Culture tells me that I'm a hater because of my skin color. God says I'm loved. God says I'm the same brother and sister no matter what color the skin is. Culture says if I don't jump on this bandwagon with confirming homosexuality that I'm a hater and I'm not a Christian because I don't love them. I love them enough. I share the gospel. Joseph stood up and he followed God. He done the unthinkable. The crowd wants him to humiliate her. But he won't. Why? Because he loves her. Why does he love her? Because he loves God. Have we not heard that in Scripture before? If you don't love me, you can't love God. If you don't love me, you can't love your neighbors. Have we heard that before? Or am I making that up? You know, he lived in a small town. I mean a small town. Smaller than El Paso, Arkansas. That's pretty small, right? Some of the historians say that this town had less than 30 families living in it. That's pretty small. And everyone knows each other, and they think they know what's going on. And I can imagine some of the conversations around town went something like this. You could hear people saying, I bet they consummated this marriage before their wedding day. Right? We've heard it, right? Or they could be saying, I heard that she ran off and got pregnant. She ain't got no morals. We could hear that, right? Or they'd be coming to Joseph. I told you, you couldn't trust that family. We've heard that before too, have we not? We all know how easy it is for rumors to get started. And gossip is addictive and it's contagious. And it's just the same for men as it is for women. It ain't just the women gossiping. Us men, we like to talk too. I know I've been guilty of it. We live in a culture today that tells us to lash out on social media or go on to the Jerry Springer show and air out our dirty laundry. Right? We ain't going to seek the truth, but we're going to bash and bash and bash and bash and bash. That's what we're going to do. Not Joseph. No, he ain't going to do that. Joseph ain't going to do that. His strength came from the Lord, not from himself and not from the crowd. He relied on God 100%. Joseph knew that this marriage was going to be hard, and he knew what it was going to be like, but he pressed on. He didn't hold back because he was strong in the Lord, and he knew the will of God. So how many of us men thought that we had our lives planned out? I imagine Joseph had his planned out. Joseph probably thought that his life was pretty well planned. His marriage was planned out and arranged. His job was planned out. And then this whole world come crashing down. Isn't that how it happens? Seems like it, right? We think we have everything all figured out. Life is going good. It's going really good, is it not? Really good. We're moving right along on cruise control and then bam! What happens? We get an illness or death. Our job changes. We're in an accident. Or we go through a pandemic. You see, God has plans for our lives that we may never see coming. We didn't see this coming, did we not? We didn't know this COVID was going to cause so much fear in our lives. I know it's real. I'm not saying it's not real. But when have we become people who live in fear? God has plans for lives, and we may never see it coming. If we're not strong enough in Him, we're going to fall. Those plans will crush us. How can we be strong enough? You've got to be obedient to God. How can we be obedient to God? Know His Word. Know His Word. Know this Bible. God will give us strength to go forward with the plan He has presented to us if we would just follow His lead. That's all we got to do. He's already done it. We just got to follow Him. Let Him guide us. Let Him direct us. We have God's Word here to guide us. How many of us used to say the Pledge of Allegiance to the Bible? Y'all know the ones we teach to our children? You remember it? I pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word. I will make it a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, and I will hide its words in my heart that I might not sin against God. That's a pledge we teach our children, right? And then how do we live our life? You know, as adults, we say this pledge, we teach this pledge to our children, and as soon as we leave church, the very moment we leave church, we take the Lord's name in vain because we get stuck in traffic and we're late going to eat lunch, or the preacher gets long-winded. You must remember, Joseph was an ordinary man. A man just like you and I. But there are two things that make Joseph different from us. Our text tells us God chose him to be Jesus' father. And our text tells us that God calls him a righteous man. Although he came from a royal lineage of David, we can easily picture him as a humble man this morning. This brief portrait of him in Scripture suggests that he was quiet. He was unobtrusive. He is available when needed. When God told him to move, what did he do? He moved. He is willing to endure hardship and disappointment. He's going to do what God tells him to, even if it means going against the norm. That's what he's doing. His dreams had been crushed. I can imagine that he was looking forward to fathering his own child first. Joseph was faced with being a stepfather to a child not his own, but he claims him as his own. And we see this because Jesus is known by the lineage We know that he took Jesus as his own by the lineage to David given to us here in our scripture. I need to slow down. I'm sorry. He accepted the humbling circumstances surrounded him by the birth of Jesus Christ. Joseph had to be strong for Mary and for the child Jesus. And he knows he can't do it on his own. He's obedient to God. He had to be a man of courage. How do we know that he was a man of courage? Well, here's three examples of a man of courage. We look after the birth of Jesus in Matthew chapter 2, verse 13. In 14, it says, "Now when they had departed," talking about the wise men, "behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child of his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt." God told him to move. What did he do? He moved. There's another thing we can point out in the Scripture. It's kind of off key just a little bit, but if you're familiar with Hosea 11, verse 1, it says, "Out of Egypt I called my son." What's God doing? He's putting the plan in motion, right? We're going to see a prophecy fulfilled here when he calls Jesus back out of Egypt. But what Joseph was doing, this took courage to pick up and move at a moment's notice, trusting that God will take care of him. Jesus was obedient, so he went. He went. We see another example in Matthew chapter 2, verse 19. As they returned to Israel, it says, "Now when Herod was dead, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise, take a young child, his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the young child's life were dead. Then he arose, took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel." Now this is another example in the text that proves to me that Joseph is a righteous man. This is another text that proves to me that Joseph was seeking out the direction from God. I believe this shows that he is constantly seeking out the guidance of God. And here he is doing what the angel of the Lord commanded him. He's being obedient, all right? And he's going. and he's trusting God and to protect Mary and Jesus on this journey. And then we get to Matthew 2:22, and the text throws a curveball. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea instead of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there, and being warned by God in a dream, he turned aside into the region of Galilee. And verse 23 goes on to say, and he came and dwelt in the city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. Even though he was being obedient and going in what direction God told him to go, he's constantly seeking God out to make sure each step is the right step. And even though he got the news that there was some bad people still left there, he was still going until God told him to change direction. A man who is being obedient to God. I hope you can see that this morning. I hope you can see how God is in control. Can you see how God is keeping His promises? Now listen here. Looking back in our lives, we can see that dreams that we had for ourselves didn't really turn out the way we wanted, have they not? But if we really look back, and we would see that the dreams that seemed that weren't being filled do become fulfilled. If we're following God. For example, my dream was to raise my children in one place. And even though we moved 3 or 4 times while they were growing up, they still stayed in the same community. That was a dream my wife and I had. God made it happen. I'm grateful that was in His will to happen for what I wanted. But again, that's what I wanted. At the time, I wasn't praying to God. I didn't know God. But God blessed me. It's the same with their jobs. I have learned that seeking high-paying jobs have cost more than settling with what God wanted me to have. We have to learn to be content with what God wants us to have. Joseph was. And let me explain this. I'm not saying that making money isn't important. I'm not saying that at all. We know we've got to have money to live. All I'm saying is that God should be the one leading you into the direction for the occupation that you have. I spent a lot of years away from my family chasing the dollar. I thought that I needed to make this money. I thought it was my job to do it on my own. I never once asked God for direction. And I missed out on so much. And my kids aren't kids anymore. But I do have a beautiful granddaughter. God's given me a chance to do it right again. Man, I know it seems like I'm preaching to only you this morning, but we need to get this right. It's our job to lead the family. It's our job to take care of the family. It's our job to obey God. This world has a way to make us think that things are not working out the way they're supposed to. It makes us think that we're not good enough. We're not doing good enough. That's what they want us to think. Satan wants to turn us away from Christ. Satan wants to push us away from God. Satan knows that we're nothing on our own, so he tries to make us think that we're everything on our own. And brother and sister, I am nothing on my own. I am nothing without God, and you are nothing without God. Joseph is a man of courage. His life wasn't working out as planned, but he put his faith and trust of his life in the hands of the Creator. This is evident in how Scripture paints this picture of this man that we call Joseph this morning. And in order for Joseph to do this, he had to be a man of faith. And that brings me to my third point this morning. Joseph, a man of faith. Getting back to Matthew chapter 1, in verse 22, we read, "Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which translated means God with us. "And Joseph awoke from his sleep, and he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son and called his name Jesus." You know, there are certain sayings that we associate with men. Right? If you grew up the way I did, you had some fathers and uncles and grandchildren that were pretty blunt in their sayings, right? You know, and I think it's wore off on me. I think it's why my kids call me Grandpa. But here's some typical father quotes that I'm familiar with. After service, you can remind me of some more. But my favorite one is, ask your mother. Have we ever done that? I don't want to deal with you. Go ask your mama. Right? That's what we meant, right? Or when they get hurt, don't worry, it's only blood. For you fathers who've got a bunch of daughters, do you think I'm made of money? Right? I'm thankful my boys make their own money. My daughter, she ain't too bad. She's pretty good. She's got a great boss. How about this one? I'm not sleeping. I was just watching that show with my eyes closed. We got that one, right? A little dirt never hurt anyone. Just wipe it off. And these next four, I'm sorry, I got quite a few. I got carried away. How about this one? That hurt, didn't it? I didn't feel a thing. I bet you won't do that again. And this is my favorite one from John Wayne. Life is hard. It's harder when you're stupid. Right? Yeah. Or you're on the road trips. We're not lost. I know exactly where we're at. We're in the car. We've been there, done that. No, we're not there yet. We'll get there when we get there. And for you husbands that got them wives that like to nag you on everything, you know, you don't have to remind me every 6 months. I said I'll take care of it soon. Yeah. But you know, when we get to thinking about the things that our fathers and our uncles and grandfathers or other men in our lives have said throughout the years, it's amazing on how we always have a way to rationalize what's going on at the moment, right? We try to blow it off. But I wonder if we could write a book about the things that we say and do so we could record it to show the world how wise we were at the moment, right? I want you to listen to this morning. I never realized this till I studied this. One thing you may not be aware of is that Joseph, the husband to Mary, the father to Jesus Christ, the earthly father, never says a word. There's not one recorded word in Scripture where Joseph said something. He doesn't say a single word in the Gospels. He just listens and he obeys. Now, we might assume his words are recorded. You know, we can imagine the conversations he had with Mary and Gabriel. In our minds, we can think about how it went, right? We can almost hear him talking to the donkey rental agent, making sure that she gets the smoothest riding donkey at Enterprise Donkey Rental before they go to Jerusalem. We can hear him begging with the innkeeper, "My wife is great with child. I need a room to put her in." We can hear him welcoming the wise men as they come to see Jesus. And we can hear him calling for Jesus when they couldn't find him and realized that they left him back in Jerusalem. We can hear him walk around, "Jesus, Jesus, where are you?" And that should be the cry to every lost person today. We should be the men that are obedient to God to share His Word so the lost can hear the way to find the direction to Jesus Christ. It just seems right that Joseph said something, but we never once read a recorded word from him. He silently goes about the business of God the Father, and he does it obediently and he does it faithfully. He had to have strong faith. His wife was pregnant, and the angel tells him that she is carrying the child Jesus. He takes her to be his wife in accordance to the will of God. He asks no questions. He doesn't second guess the strange circumstance of a virgin birth. Our text says he kept her a virgin until after the birth of Jesus. He never consummated the marriage until after the birth of Jesus. He may have thought about the prophecy from Isaiah 7:14. He may have
He may have had doubt on how he was going to raise the Son of God. How am I worthy enough to raise your Son, God? I know I would have that doubt. But God said Joseph was the one. Joseph goes forward with this amazingly difficult task. And he'd done this by believing that God was in control and would go with him. And he'd done this by his faith in God's plan. He knows that God's plan is greater than any of ours. You know, sometimes it seems that God's plan is calling, it's challenging us, but that is the one way that God strengthens our faith. God does strengthen us by fire. He strengthens us by drawing us together so we can encourage each other. You know, iron sharpens iron. Our faith is challenged when God's plans seem unreasonable. For Joseph, he is reminded of who is in control. The angel said, "Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife." It didn't seem reasonable to marry her, did it? But God said, "You're going to marry her." Our faith is challenged when God's plan seems unexplainable. Just like when he said, "For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit." How does that happen? How can we explain that happens? We can't imagine it at all. It makes no sense in the world's view how she can just become pregnant without knowing a man. It doesn't follow science, does it? But God's omnipotent. He knows. He's all-powerful. He is creator. And the last I checked, he does what he wants to do. We must look at the challenges we face in life, not as setbacks or inconveniences. No, we need to look at them as a chance for our faith in God to grow stronger like Joseph's. So in conclusion, men, here we go again. We are to follow the example that Joseph has set out before us. Some may say we don't know much about Joseph. I can tell you that we know exactly what God wants us to know about him. And it's more than enough. He's not a dreamer. He is a faithful follower of God. Joseph was the head of the home where the Son of God grew from an infant to a man. What a privilege it must have been watching Jesus grow up. Watching him learn how to walk and talk and the skills that he would develop. Listening to things that Jesus would say and do. Watching him grow in wisdom and in stature. You know, Joseph was the guardian of God's only begotten Son. What a privilege that must have been. And how scary it would have been. God chose him and put great trust in Joseph. You know, we know that Joseph was a carpenter. You can find that in Matthew 13 and you can find it in Luke chapter 2. We know that Joseph taught Jesus to be a carpenter. We can read that in Mark 6, verse 3. And he was the father of four boys and at least two girls. You find that in Matthew 13, 55 and 56. God calls Joseph to be a righteous man. He calls him a righteous man. That's what our text tells us. Since God calls Joseph a righteous man, we know that Joseph was a righteous man. Men, we would do well to imitate him. Joseph was a man who thinks before he acts. I think that's what Scripture plainly points out to us. This is proven in the examples of the life that God has given us in the Scriptures about this man named Joseph. We don't know what happened to Joseph. The last time he's mentioned is in Luke chapter 2 when he and Mary were looking for Jesus in Jerusalem. We know that he's more than likely passed away because Mary is without him at the crucifixion of Christ. Joseph lived an obedient life, loving and honoring God. He didn't seek out fortune or fame. He was content in being the servant, the tool, whatever it was that God called him to do. He wasn't the center of the show. He wasn't the main attraction. This story is not about Joseph's life. It's about the life of Jesus. It's about a man who chose to be obedient and he became smaller so God could become greater. That's what this is. Brother and sister, each and every one of us are here to serve God. And we need to do it obediently. He had a peace that passed all understanding. He had that because he chose to serve God. And if you don't know the Lord as your personal Lord and Savior, to have the kind of peace that Joseph has. I pray that you seek him out today, this very moment. There may not be a next time. Does God call you righteous this morning? If he doesn't, and you can't answer that question, I'm begging you to please seek him out. This child, Jesus, that Joseph was raising is the one that was born to die on the cross for forgiveness of our sins. He was the one to grow up perfect, sinless, and blameless. And he died on a criminal's cross. If you have any questions this morning after we dismiss, please come and ask me anything about this lesson today, this message today, or ask Brother Lee. And I'll close with this. You know, it's amazing how God paints a picture of a man who said nothing in Scripture other than by his actions alone. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. Father, I pray this was glorifying to you, Father. I pray it was a message you wanted me to preach. Father, I pray you can help me become more like Joseph, being a man who is obedient, not asking questions. When you tell me to move, Father, I pray I'm receptive and I'm obedient enough to move. Father, I ask you to just be with us the rest of this week. Remind us of the men that we're supposed to be, men who put our faith in you and in nothing else. We love you, God, and thank you for everything you do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, church, let's stand as we're dismissed in a song this morning. Hymn number 129, Great and Mighty. Amen. Wasn't that a good message? Amen.
Great and mighty is the Lord our God. Great and mighty is He. Great and mighty is the Lord our God. Great and mighty is He. Lift up your banner, let the anthem ring. Praises to our King. Great and mighty is the Lord our God. Great and mighty